I put together a little show over at the 6th Street Center for Youth, just talking to some of the youth there about their Thanksgiving experiences. It was really fun, and I hope, I don't know, I hope you like it. We're just going to play the segment, and here we go. Last Tuesday afternoon at Chico's 6th Street Center for Youth, where they were having their annual Thanksgiving celebration. There were about 10 youth there when I arrived. They were playing cards with the staff, helping out in the kitchen, and working on computers. As I hung around, more and more arrived, until the place was humming with activity. Some were waiting for a shower, or drying out their belongings, making phone calls, trying to invite friends to the meal, or maybe find a place to stay for the night. The center staff had set up extra tables, decorated with festive plates and candy. It was really like a typical family scene, with the only difference being that some people there had known each other for years, and others had just met 5 minutes ago. Sixth Street is always interesting in that way. I went around asking people if they had any Thanksgiving stories, and as you'll hear, I got some pretty good ones. Two involve explosives at the dinner table, and one is a timely warning about spoon-involved injuries, which tend to spike in the holiday season. We talked about gratitude and holiday wisdom. One young man who didn't feel like being interviewed told me he was stressed because he was struggling to get a job and an apartment by the end of the year. That's when he and his girlfriend are due to become parents, and he hates the idea of his firstborn son being brought into the world homeless. But in a chair across the room, a young woman I'd met at 6th Street some 5 years ago, who I'd seen in very similar straits before she managed to get housed and stable, bounced her one-year-old son on her knee. She looked absolutely radiant, and her baby was all smiles and sunshine. Watching them gave me hope for all the youth there, each of them in various stages of trying to get their young lives together. The courage and resiliency of these youth always makes me feel grateful to do the work I do, just to be able to share in these journeys and help when I can. We can all use some small help on the road home. I also got to talk to 6th Street staff member Lauren Thomas, who is another person I admire at the center. I've never met someone so calmly compassionate, so open to really hearing what people are going through. We talked about how important the center is, how many lives it's changed. 6th Street really is a family, no stranger to the love, pride, heartache, and hard work that comes with change. As the afternoon wore on and the smells from the kitchen began wafting out, more and more people showed up. Current and former clients, staff who've moved on yet still come back periodically to check in with the youth they came to know here. All of them smiling, mingling, talking. You could feel the gratitude from blocks away. So thanks to everyone who gave me an interview that day, and I hope all of you listening enjoy these stories as much as I enjoyed collecting them. Hey, I got to jump in here for a second to do a little underwriting. This is FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio for the Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. And Without a Roof program is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the Jewelry Box, Chico's gem for unique jewelry. Award-winning designer Geraldine Sheridan, I hope I said that right, invites you to her holiday show, Sticks and Stones, on Thursday, December 1st through Sunday, December 11th, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. Silver, gold, and pearl sticks and shapely stones of brilliant rainbow colors. To see the newest creations, pick a treasure and be inspired. Visit the Jewelry Box at 1334 Mangrove Ave, online at chicojewelrybox.com. Okay, so say your name.
Lauren Thomas.
Okay, and you work here at 6th Street Center?
Yes.
Okay, what is today? What's special about today here?
Today is the annual Thanksgiving feast at 6th Street, and it's extra special this year because the Youth for Change leadership team is hosting, and so they're going all out, white tablecloths, centerpieces, the whole shebang.
It really looks really nice.
It's never looked like this in here.
Yeah. It's very fancy.
Yes.
Any memories of previous Thanksgivings you've had here that have been fun? Have you been to a lot of these?
Yeah. So two things that stand out in my head. One is just the gratitude that's expressed. So we usually have some sort of gratitude activity, and the things that people come up with are really heartwarming and sometimes really funny and really touching, and there's just so much gratitude around the table. And then the other thing that comes to mind is how clumsy we are with the turkey. I feel like every year we're sitting there before we open, like, trying to figure out what comes out of where and what, how do you do this, and it's always kind of ridiculous and funny, but it always turns out great.
What are some of the things that people have said they're thankful for?
Family, Sixth Street, food. This year, somebody was eating M&Ms, and he was grateful for his M&Ms. Good company, good health. What are some of the other things? I'm not thinking of any of the funny ones, but a lot of just grateful for their friends and their community.
Yeah.
And the dinner. The dinner is always great. And this year, I think, is going to be even more than we've had in the past.
It smells good.
It smells really good. Yeah.
Any holiday wisdom?
Holiday wisdom.
Or anything you're thankful for?
Well, this holiday is kind of, feels like kind of a dark holiday in a lot of ways. And so I just try to focus on gratitude and community and relationships.
Yeah.
And so I think that's what it's all about here at Sixth Street, and just in general, focusing on that today.
Yeah. How important is gratitude just in your regular life? It seems like something that I'm just kind of getting tuned into is like feeling gratitude and showing gratitude.
And expressing gratitude.
It's so good for your mental health.
Yes.
Yeah.
I heard, I'm going to botch this, but I heard on the radio recently, some guy wrote a book on gratitude, and he said gratitude visits, which I think is like going to someone and expressing gratitude, is more beneficial to someone's mental health than winning the lottery, winning $1 million.
Yeah.
It's like it gives you happiness for such a long period of time.
Yeah.
And I think it's true. I mean, it impacts everything.
Yeah.
And just knowing that there's people out there that, at least here at Sixth Street, that there's people out here supporting you and that care about you. And this can be a hard holiday for some people.
Oh, yeah. The whole holiday season can be really tough for a lot of people.
Yes. And I've heard that already this year, that they're not able to with family, and that's really hard for them. And so this is super special that they're with kind of like a second family.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. Thanks, Lauren.
Yeah. Thank you, Josh. Thanks for being here.
Yeah. Okay, wait. So, what we have, let's describe what we have here. This is the Sixth Street Gratitude Tree.
It's got some leaves on it, and these leaves,
and every leaf, you like.
Every leaf has what people are thankful for.
Mm hmm.
This one right here says M&M.
M&M. Do you think that's the candy or the wrapper?
I'm not entirely sure because it's not plural. It's the only way to really distinguish it is whether there's a.
What else are we grateful for?
This person said they're grateful for life and cheese.
But life is cheese.
Well,
or cheese is life.
Well, when I wrote it, I didn't really think about that.
But that one was yours?
Yeah.
Awesome.
This says, I am grateful for Sixth Street. Oh, that's awesome.
Aww.
I am too. So this one says, I'm grateful for my hats.
Sure.
So it should be like
nuclear weapons. All right,
nuclear weapons. The other side says food, so I'm also grateful for food.
Food and Jose. Yes, it does say nuclear.
That's okay.
Not nuclear. Nuclear.
Yeah. Perfect.
Which I don't know what a nuclear weapon is. Maybe that is actually something to be grateful for.
I think George W. Bush invented them.
That way you know it's good stuff. So this says, thankful for coffee and sweatpants.
Oh, heck yeah.
Who doesn't like sweatpants and coffee?
That's a nice afternoon.
This person loves bacon. with three nice. Exclamation points.
Grateful for bacon. Good.
Yeah, and this, what do we got here? Grateful for my family and my education.
That was mine.
Oh. It's pretty dorky. That's great.
Yeah, and this I didn't make fun of yours, man. Well, actually, I did a little bit.
Well, I...
We're even.
Okay. This one says, grateful for my 6th Street family.
Nice.
I know who wrote that one.
And that's it, huh?
I think I'm really on board with most of these, except for nuclear weapons.
Are you grateful for anything?
Be alive.
Being alive. That's a good one. Boy, that's like the one, right?
The thing about life and cheese is cheese was my first answer.
Mm-hmm.
It just came in my head. It wasn't even a second, it was a millisecond. And then it was like, but deep down, I'm grateful for life. So I decided life and cheese. But of course, other stuff too. Like, I like bacon, M&M. I don't like hats, though. I don't wear hats.
No.
But I do like sweatpants.
Yeah.
When I'm just chilling.
There's a lot to be grateful for here.
Mm-hmm.
All right, thanks.
Okay, wait, so do I just talk into it?
Yeah.
Okay, so my name's Dante. And so Thanksgiving in my house means family, fun, and a lot of great things, and a lot of great people coming together and drinking under one roof. And drinking under one roof turns into mass drinking under one roof, and mass drinking under one roof turns into violence and obscenery at my house. So one fun year, my father was sitting at the head of the table, and we had just had a wee bit too much from the tip of Jack. And my father had actually pulled out his M9 and fired 3 shots up in the air to just kind of scare us. So I had grabbed my uncle's utility belt, which had a flashbang on it, and I pulled the pin, threw the grenade up, grabbed the turkey, and ran outside carrying it like a football. All the way across the yard. And we had a really big yard. Like, I ran into the woods barefoot with this thing. And I have, like, a mob of drunken, disoriented people, like, screaming, running after me for a good half hour. And then, as it turned out, I actually dropped the turkey and was running with, like, nothing. And I was just holding it. And I was so adrenaline-filled that I just completely forgot about it. I was like, yeah, I'm going to go eat this. And I didn't. That was the most interesting Thanksgiving I've ever had.
Wow. Did they catch you?
No.
No.
No, my family's pretty drunk and slow.
You had to hide out in the woods? Or
mm-hmm. For a little bit. Until everyone stopped being drunk. But I'm kind of sad I lost the turkey. It had, like, some really good stuff in it, too. It was a bacon-stuffed turkey.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Well, you guys were drunk before you even ate?
No. We woke up. We wake up every Thanksgiving morning, me and my dad, and then we call my uncle and my cousin over.
Yeah.
And then those two people call 2 more people, and 2 more people call 2 more people, and 2 more people call 2 more people, and eventually we have this, like, by noon we have this huge rowdy crowd of drunk Delaneys swinging their fists at each other.
That sounds crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Are you doing that this year, too?
No.
No.
I hope not, unless we're having a drinking contest, too.
Here?
Are we?
No.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
No, they don't allow that, I'm sure.
that'd be something to see. That'd be a sight for Soros. Is it my turn?
Thanks for that story. That was amazing.
You didn't have to love me like you did, but you did, but you did.
Tyler, tell me your Thanksgiving story.
After dinner, I was kind of really full, so I put my plate in the sink without rinsing off or washing it. So my sister threw a spoon at my head and, like, bounced off the table across the room, hit me in my head, and gave me butterfly stitches, and I was bleeding really bad.
Do you have to go to the hospital?
Yeah.
That sounds like a terrible
day. Yeah.
Is that pretty typical? Or do you have good ones, too?
Pretty typical.
Spoons are dangerous, I think.
I didn't know they were dangerous.
Because I know I have to be able to fight.
What's your Thanksgiving look like this year?
Sixth Street.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it smells good anyway.
Oh, yeah, that looks fancy.
They got the place looking nice.
Yeah, they do.
Well, I'm glad that they're doing this.
Me too. It's a good program.
Hello.
All right. Any holiday wisdom?
Hey there.
Not really.
Okay. Thanks.
Well. All right, Gary. Tell me about yourself.
Well, I've been out here at Chico for about 6 years, going on 7. Been homeless off and on. Trying to get my life in order. Get my head out of my butt. Just stopped smoking cigarettes not too long ago.
Yeah, oh, that's good. What do you think of when you think of the holidays?
It's supposed to bring joy, and you hang out with friends and drink eggnog.
Yeah, is that what really happens during the holidays? Or is that just a lie?
Well, I drink eggnog and hang out with friends, yeah. But not really much, too much happens, really.
Yeah.
We have our, we mess around with our herbal essence, uh-huh. But we don't really do too much, really.
Yeah. Do you not see your family much, or?
No.
No, it's not good with them?
Not really. They're a bunch of, I haven't seen, well, I'm the goody-goody two-shoe of the family, basically.
Really? Yeah. So what are your plans for this holiday, if you have any? You're just going to hang out with friends?
Probably.
Yeah. You got a place to be?
No. Not yet. I'm trying to work on getting a place here, so.
Good. All right. Any holiday wisdom for our listeners?
Stay out of trouble. Don't do drugs. And stay happy.
All right. We'll do. Thanks. We'll just say your name.
Robert Freed.
Okay, Robert, you were saying you don't really celebrate Thanksgiving because you're half Native, you said?
Yes, Comanche tribe.
Yeah.
Registered since 2012.
I imagine there's a different perspective that goes along that with Thanksgiving, right? It's not not quite celebrated?
Not really, no. It's kind of more like, I guess you'd say, Holocaust Remembrance Day for us.
Yeah. How does that feel to see everyone, so many other people celebrating it? Do you feel like that they need to see a different perspective?
On the one hand, I don't want to be a buzzkill or killjoy, you know, because it is, I do understand, you know, the meaning of it, you know, about family and friends, being grateful for that. It's just from the historical perspective, I think, you know, people should, you know, I don't want to say, they should... They should think more, you know, about the people who were here first before the white Europeans.
Right. Instead of this sort of, like, it's really a phony story about their first Thanksgiving. Like, it's what most people are celebrating is not, like, the truth of what actually happened, right?
Right.
Yeah. Hey, how's it going?
Like I said, it would be cool if, like, they renamed it Native American Holocaust Remembrance Day. In Russia, they have, you know, Day of the Remembrance of the Repression for the victims of Stalin. And mm-hmm. Around the world, we celebrate Holocaust Remembrance Day for the Jews, so why not?
Yeah. Yeah. And this is Native American Month, celebration of Native American Month. And then we have, over in the Dakotas, we have that horrible thing going on with the Dakota Access Pipeline, and people are being basically brutalized by the police. Are you paying any attention to that?
No, I haven't. I mostly pay attention to international politics.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I guess I could be called the international Indian.
Any holiday wisdom?
Holiday wisdom? Not really. Be grateful for what you have, for soon there will be nothing, I guess.
Okay, well, I was probably about 8. And it was me, my brother, my two brothers. We were at my aunt's house in Corning. And there's probably about, like, I don't know, probably 20, like 20 people on the table. Dang. And what they didn't know is, like, the table that they had, on the bottom, where the turkey was at, there's a hole. Right? Like, there's a hole, like you can, like, move it. So, like...
To make
like,
the table bigger or something?
Yeah, no, like you can move it, right? And, like, we put, like, the platter, like, where the turkey's at.
Uh-huh.
Well, what we did was, my brother, instead of moving it, didn't move it well. You know, like, those, like, firecrackers? Like, the little, like, one that kind of, like, sound like a gun? Well, he put a lot in there. Like, when he fused it up with the long wire. Or outside, right? Well, they were doing their, like, Christmas thing, talking and stuff. He lit it. And then he walked inside. And when we were sitting down, everyone was like, eh. And my aunt, well, she grabs it and explodes, like, just boom, right in her face. Like, the bone, like, of the turkey. Like, because it was, like, I don't know, like, one of the bones. Like, it broke off. And ended up like getting one of my cousins' face, like it pierced his face, and like went like right through. That's and then like the funny part is, is my grandpa right when he was walking, it straight smacked him in the nose, and hit the dog, and then the dog ate it right after that. That was about it. But it was kind of stupid though.
Oh man!
But
were you in trouble?
No, they never. That was us. Yeah. Never found out. But they found out with my brother, like, afterwards, but now they didn't find out I was a part of it. I was just like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Blew up the turkey.
Yeah, blew up a turkey with little,
Those little caps, that, you mean? Like, those little
ones that, like, sound like guns. That go, like, bam. But yeah, like, a lot of them. Like, and he tied it up and just went,
whoosh.
Was the turkey, could you still eat it after that?
They did.
Yeah.
They did, yeah, because they didn't want to waste money.
But, that's a good one.
I don't know, it was kind of just like... just like other ordinary, you know, we're just bored and we're just like, all right, whatever. We're like, we're in Corning, so it's like, you know what I mean? Like, they're about to like land, so like, we just ran. Like, you know what I mean? Like after we left, we just like, because my uncle was pretty mad. He was heated.
Sorry.
We just dipped off. We're like,
that's a good one.
Right to, like, because like, we're at the acres and like, has horses. So we started like running to the horses and they had like goats. And the goat started chasing them and like, the goat actually wants to go.
Hey guys, Will Durst here to marvel that only 2 months before joining the government in an entry-level position, President-elect Donald Trump has been busier than a bartender 10 minutes before midnight at a Times Square Applebee's on New Year's Eve. He cleverly kept America's enemies on their toes by refusing to commit to moving into the White House. Replacing a black family living in public housing would cause them to break out in hives. Besides, Melania is reluctant to downsize. A large amount of his time was spent reneging on campaign promises. Who would have thought a New York City developer would welch on a deal? Oh yeah, everybody. One of the major refrains of his campaign was locking up crooked Hillary. Now he's thanking her for her service to the country. Lock her up with hugs and kisses is what he meant. Also, Trump now says he looks forward to getting Obama's advice. Probably expects some problems with his Kenyan immigration policies. He wants to retain parts of Obamacare instead of getting rid of it on day one. The major complaint is Obama's name on the bill. And as soon as the country starts referring to it as Trump Care, he'll be fine with it. That whole imposing a Muslim ban thing? No. He's imposing a ban on Muslims. No more imported loosely woven cotton fabric. And he's going to throw up tariffs on Chinese gods, not goods. The eight immortals can stay eternal, but they're going to have to do it on Chinese shores. Ending sanctuary cities? Bird sanctuary cities. Bomb ISIS? What he meant to say is the Egyptian goddess Isis is the bomb. Getting rid of NAFTA? No, he's going to get rid of NAPTHA and switch to liquid gas to heat all his resort swimming pools. And building a wall was a simple misunderstanding. He's going to build a mall and get Ross Dressed for Less to pay for it. Huge tax cuts for the rich because God knows the rich need more money? Yeah, that one he meant. For KZFR Radio, I'm Will Durst.
Non-Human Radio is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR supporters and by the 42nd Annual Christmas Artisans Fair on December 2nd, 3rd, and 4th at the Silver Dollar Fairground. There will be artists and craftspersons from across the county starting at noon on Friday, December 2nd, and at 10 a.m. on Saturday and Sunday. There's free admission, parking, live local music, and more at the Silver